Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Anna's out of frame. Cut. Anna's out of frame. She has slid into the little pool.
Into the lake. Yeah.
Into the little lake we've built.
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl. I am so happy you are here for the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast to take a trip down memory lane with me, the amazing cast, and some very special guests. I'm so glad to finally be able to say the family is back together again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast, where we will be discussing season 1, episode 3. I'm going to introduce my co-host for today. She is the incredible and unique talent that brought Kenzie to life. That's right. Please welcome my on-screen sister and one of my dearest friends, the beautiful Ksenia Solo.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you too.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I cleaned up for you, but only for you.
Thank God. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Ksenia, we are going to talk about season one, episode 3.
Season one of what? Sorry.
I don't know if you remember a show we did called Lost Girl.
Lost Girl, huh?
No, although, you know what? Over the years, whenever I've tried to tell people the name of the show I was on, they're like, Law School? And I'm like, no, Lost Girl. Lost Girl. Come on,
you're
people.
Like, a little bit of a different concept than Law School.
So I have some questions for you.
Okay.
About this episode. First,
should
I'll
I
say
be nervous?
You should be very nervous. No, you should not be nervous. You should be excited because, oh my God, this episode was amazing. It was called O Kappa My Kappa or Sorority, depending on where it aired, I think. And it was written by Michelle Lovretta, who we know and love, and directed by Paul Fox. And I think that was the perfect combination for this episode. And a basic synopsis was that Kenzie and Beau go to undercover to a college campus to rescue a missing girl. So my first question for you, how did you feel watching it? And what sort of were your first impressions that came up watching it?
I was so glad that I got this episode because in the haze of like season one, for some reason, I completely forgot about that episode and that we had like gone undercover to this sorority. So I was like, okay, episode 3, like just no memory of what's it about. And when it started, I was like, oh my God, this was one of my favorites to film. Like, how could it have, you know, like, why did I forget about it? It brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
And I could feel how much fun we had when we were filming it. And I just had like a huge smile on my face, like the entire, at the end, I was like, my cheeks hurt. And I'm like, I'm so glad I got this one. Cause it just was so much fun. I love, the beginning of like Bo and, Kenzie, like opening their, you know, investigative services.
And that was what started that was in that episode, right? When Kenzie comes up with that idea, of course, it's Kenzie's idea. And that kind of set up the creature of the week style of our first season, which we kind of got away from in future seasons, which I think probably was good for the evolution of the show. But I loved that creature of the week stuff. I like procedurals, and I love that we kind of set up our show that way. And of course, I love that it was Kenzie's idea to come up with that. So
I love all, like all the scenes we ever had in our kitchen. I just have such fond memories of, and when I saw that one, you know, the beginning of the business, man, it just made me miss those days. There was so much, I don't know. There was so much freedom and like play, and there was no, I guess, like expectations of anything really, because it was season one and we were all just discovering and enjoying the material and enjoying getting to like know these characters and you know, wear them like a glove, which first season, you know, everything was still unknown. And I think for me, I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, every scene was just like discovering who is Kenzie and who are these characters around. And, I just loved it so much. And sorry, I'm going to keep rambling because
There's a lot of things.
The scenes between Bo and Dyson.
Oh, I know.
I just had forgotten about the beginning of it all.
I know. That's what I've been holding in, is that I forgot about the, no, it's what I've been forgot about too, is like that innocence. Bo was so innocent and like a teenager in this world of Faye and like figuring out who she was, and that Dyson is so sweet to her, but she is so innocent and just like wants to do well. And, you know, that's why I love, I feel like episode three is really where Bo and Kenzie kind of come together, and this dynamic of sort of the weight that Bo had, the kind of seriousness and the approach she had in the world, which was really innocent. And then Kenzie with this street smart kind of, they were just such a good, our chemistry was ridiculous. And I think it's not that I forgot that, it's just been so long. First of all, we were so young. Oh my God.
It was like a minute ago.
Yeah. And we were so young, and you're right. We were discovering everything. It was the very beginning. It was kind of like this big sort of free fall into this space that we didn't totally understand, and we were finding everything. But it really unfolded in such a beautiful way. And I feel like this is the episode where Kenzie and Bo really start to
find their groove.
Yeah, absolutely.
The scene with you and Dyson at the end, I have to say, at the end of the episode in the bar, there was like a specific, the whole scene I think is so beautiful. And I think it's one of my favorite scenes of like the entire series. Wow. And the moment when you say, what was it? Like, I thought we were on the same page, or I thought we understood the same thing. Yeah. I can't remember the exact line, but, and just everything that Dyson's holding in and what he's dealing with. And this, like you said so beautifully, like this innocence of thinking like, we finally got together and this feels so right and this feels so good. Like, this is gonna, in Bo's mind, like continue forward. And just that, I don't know, I just loved scene so much.
The end scene was there were so many layers to it, you know?
Yeah.
You've got Trick back there and, you know, watching this, and he's kind of orchestrated this, and Dyson knows it's the right thing to do. It also tells you how powerful Bo is in this new world, and she doesn't really know it yet. Yeah. And she gets her heart broken, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's making out with Kayla.
Ugh.
Kayla. I actually got like kind of mad when Kayla came on stage. The actress was wonderful, of course.
Was wonderful and beautiful. But when she came, I was like, you get out of there.
Get out of there, Kayla. Yeah. Anyway, but yes, I was going to say also that I feel like for Bo and Kenzie, they really played to the top of their strengths in this episode too. We saw like the best of what they could do, the top of their intelligence. You know, there was just, I mean, any scene that Kenzie's in, frankly, has an element in there. This is what you were so amazing at in this role, was finding things that were not on the page, you know, that brought Kenzie to life in such a beautiful way. I mean, I don't know if hula hooping was in the script, but maybe it was, but either way, it was amazing. The handshake was amazing. And there was a tiny little layer, I have to say, Ksenia, in here where all the sorority girls, first of all, Kenzie's reaction to having to wear pink is one of my favorite reactions. But the sorority girls all hugging Kenzie and Kenzie being like, oh my God, okay, there's hugging or whatever. There was a tiny little moment that I saw, and I don't know if you did this on purpose, but a tiny little moment where there's almost like a moment where she enjoys it. It's like something she's never had.
Let's go with that. Yeah.
Let's go with that. A lot of different
acting layers that I was playing. And I'm so glad that came off.
I will say though, you know how when you start acting, you always hear like the camera doesn't lie, you know, it captures everything. Yeah. And I've always thought that was such bullshit because there's so many things in my head while filming Lost Girl that the camera did not capture, or it interpreted it a little differently.
Let's say that.
There were so many great things. Okay. Let's go to our next question.
Okay. But before you move on, thank you for your kind words, but just so you know, I was just trying to keep up with you. So,
please.
No. It's true. It's very true. And like you said, just going back to like the chemistry between Bo and Kenzie and the chemistry between us, like that's like this magical thing that you can't fabricate if it's not there. Yeah. Obviously actors work together all the time that may not particularly get along or like each other, and you can make it work, and it can, of course, you know, come off the screen that there's, you know, a relationship there, but to have that magical alchemy that we did, honestly, it was like, I don't know what number of a percentage, but it was just a huge, it was like a safety net around us, where we were like in our own, bubble, where because of this alchemy and this relationship and this chemistry, we could play and we could discover Bo and Kenzie like we did. So
yeah,
thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you for that. And I will say that, you know, there's the logistics of making a show, the crazy hours, you know, the exhaustion, there's so many things that go into it. Cause people always say like, are you guys friends off set? And yes, of course we were, but there's so much happening around us while we're doing that, that sometimes the only time we came together was between action and cut, you know? Yeah. But I will say that there was this feeling that was, I felt mutually between us, that we would have walked through fire for each other.
Yeah.
You know,
That's a great way to put it.
Now I'm going to get emotional, but it's true. It's true. Yeah. And that's what worked so beautifully. Beautifully. Oh my gosh, literally crying. Okay, stop it. Snap out of it, Silk. Okay. Let's go to our next question.
Okay,
and thank you
both
for everything you just said. One of my favorite scenes of all time, Lost Girl of all time, is the scene where Dyson wolfs out and Kenzie's reaction to that. It's epic. It's epic. You know, I honestly carry around that Chris Holden Reed is actually part wolf. Like, I actually think he's wolf.
No, 100%.
And anyway, that
there's
reaction
no other
was,
reality.
I know. So what was your best memory or favorite parts from this episode? I think we've touched on a lot of that stuff already, but do you have anything you want to add to that?
I mean, honestly, I could go on for days about all the Bo and Kenzie scenes, especially in our house. Like, the house was its own character in the show.
It was.
Yeah. I loved the bathtub scene at the end. Mm. And again, like, I feel like specifically the kitchen and the bathroom were like you couldn't go wrong. Every time we had a scene in either of those places, like, you knew it was like fun and it felt full of play and like girl power.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to choose like one great memory.
Yeah.
No, I
hear you. It was like a character on the show.
Yeah.
I know. It was so comfortable to be there.
Yeah.
I actually love the scene between Bo and Kenzie in the office though, too, when they're like snooping around in the dean's office.
Yeah.
Because there was just, that just felt like the play they had, you mm-hmm. know? Can I just say the guest stars in that episode?
Oh my God.
And across the board, I mean, we always had incredible guest stars on the show, but the sorority girls and the dean, and they were incredible.
I agree. Shauna McDonald, I believe her name is, who played the dean. She's fantastic. The sorority girls were so much fun and really great to be around. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been so lucky.
Very lucky.
With the people that have come on board.
It's hard to come onto a show as a guest star.
So hard.
You know, they just always knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
They really did.
They made us look better. So
totally.
Thank you. Totally.
Thank you, Lost Girl guest stars. You were magic.
Yeah.
Most difficult or challenging part of this episode?
Definitely running after Chris Holden Reed in the woods in heels. I think maybe that marked the beginning of Kenzie running in heels because it happened many times after that.
It did, yes.
And I remember how afraid I was to break my ankle. I had not been seasoned yet in the art of running in heels. So,
you know that they actually, I think between season one and two, they got me running in heels lessons.
What?
Yes. Yes, they did.
And How did I miss that?
Well, I was not as good at it as you would think. And I had to like run up and down this driveway with stunt performers in my heels.
You're kidding me.
No, it actually kind of helped. It kind of helped me.
I wish I had been invited. I feel so,
you know what though?
It
was part of the Kenzie charm, I think. And you did it very well. Let's just stay in the real world.
The wobbly running. Thank you.
The wobbly running.
Yeah, very, very kind.
I have a question for you. What were you chugging in the beer chugging scene?
I'm so glad you're asking because I was trying to remember. I have no idea. And I'm not very good at those kinds of things. Maybe it's because I don't know, didn't have that like college experience or was never invited to those cool parties where people did that. So I was watching myself and I'm like, I feel like I'm, you know, convinced that I'm like drinking, but a part of me thinks that I was just faking it and there was nothing in there.
Oh.
So sorry to disappoint.
No, that's okay.
But that may have been my best acting ever. If you thought I was drinking, chugging.
I did.
Say.
I believed you were chugging.
Okay.
Most difficult, challenging part of the episode I'm going to try to answer. I've got a couple of answers.
Please.
One was that I remembered in the scene where we're in the clubhouse and there's a map on the table. And Kenzie comes home. She's like all disheveled.
Yeah.
And I had to like, I couldn't remember my lines to save my life. I remember this because I had to look at the map and say very logistical map-like things.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember any of that. So I took our sides, which are like the mini scripts that we have on set. And I cut out all my lines and I taped them all over the map.
That's so smart.
I'm actually reading. It was so smart. Very resourceful, very Kenzie of me, actually. So this was a little behind the scenes secret. That was a challenge for me on that.
I don't remember that.
And I'm going to tell you a sad challenge. Okay. A sad challenge. A piece of the episode that I had forgotten that when watching makes me very sad. And it will highlight the kindness of the amazing Chris Holden Reed. So, you know, the scene in the bar where Dyson and I are sitting off in the like side room.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a map out again. Once again, I'm looking at a map.
You and the damn maps. You
and the damn maps. I had a lot of maps in that episode. Anyway, and we're talking about the case. And then at the end, we have a little kiss and Dyson gives me a little like zap of energy. Anyway, if you watch that scene, which hopefully everyone listening had a chance to rewatch this episode before listening, you can see that I am quite glassy-eyed because I had just finished crying my head off. Not very professional, I realize, but I did. I finished crying my head off. And the makeup artist, Linda, our incredible makeup artist, had to pull me aside, fix up my face. I walked back in to do my close-up. Chris, of course, is so wonderful. He was there. And of course, he goes, oh, babe. You know how he says that? Oh, babe. And I was like, stop it. Don't be nice to me. I was like, don't be nice to me right now. Don't be nice to me right now. Because if you're nice to me, I'll cry. Just let's get through this. So, and he was like, okay. And we shot the scene. And if you watch, when I see Chris, I just go, oh, he's being wonderful as Dyson. But I know he's actually... It's Chris taking care of Anna in that scene to try to help me not cry. So, and the reason that I was crying, now remember, I was very tired. Okay, everybody, I was very tired.
Yeah, you had someone, a lot on your plate.
Mm-hmm. Right before that, my close-up, someone, not a cast member, just so we're clear, was talking to me about what I should and shouldn't be eating and my body and my weight. Which was kind of a shocker. And God bless the person, because I know that particularly then there was more rigid ideas about how people should look on camera and things like that. But it was so upsetting to me and really badly timed the conversation, obviously.
I was just going to say.
The worst timing. So that's a little behind the scenes secret. That's a little bit of a sad secret. And I debated sharing it today, but I'm going to share it because that's what we're doing on this podcast.
I'm so glad you're sharing because these are... unfortunate, but real things that happened.
Yeah.
And thank you for being open about that. And that makes me so angry. Makes me so livid that you, first of all, were told that. You looked so sexy and gorgeous and phenomenal. And there was not a single negative thing or idea that anyone should have been throwing your way, because it's completely ludicrous.
Thank you.
And the fact that you are leading a show, you have the show is like on your back. If that's, you know, that's an analogy I can use. That's an analogy. Yeah. You're working insanely long hours. You're, you know, again, it's season one. It's like the first episodes you're discovering. You've got a lot of pressure, a lot of responsibility. And for someone to interrupt your creative process and have a conversation with you like that is so upsetting. And
it
I can
was,
understand.
It was a bummer. Yeah. It was a bummer. But I think the bigger lesson too for me looking back is that I think everyone, even the person who had this conversation with me, just is so affected by how things should be and how people should be, or like ideas in our head that don't even matter. Yeah. You know, I always thought Bo should look extremely fertile and kind of juicy. So you know, I kept her that way.
Juicy. I like that
a little
word.
Juicy. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for your kind words, Ksenia. Let's talk. Oh, I have a question. What worked and what didn't work in this episode? I will tell you exactly what didn't work for me in this episode.
Tell me.
And it's laughable.
Tell me.
My security guard walk. Oh my God. So I tried on the security outfit and then it's always the props department, right? That's going to bring you the belts with the taser and the flashlight and all that stuff. So that kind of gets thrown on you on set. So you haven't like practiced in it. So you're like, okay, they're getting ready to film, roll sound. You know, they're putting the belt on. You're like, oh yeah, here's the belt. Here's the belt and action. So then I'm walking and I'm like, oh, I can't put my arms down. They're like, yeah, you know, you're gonna walk like a security guard. So the first time you're seeing that is when I'm actually on camera doing that. And I look ridiculous. I look like a robot walk. So didn't work for me in that episode was my security guard walk was definitely, walk. It needed a little finesse. Let's just say that.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's see, what didn't work? Here's my question.
Okay.
How did Bo get out of the chains so fast?
I have to say, they didn't look too tight.
True. Yeah. But for a second, I thought maybe there was like one close up and I thought maybe you had like a pin or something. Like maybe Kenzie had taught you to like always keep like a hairpin on you. But I saw some action and then you went free. And I was like, it's my qualm about this episode.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, it looks like she's not really that restrained. maybe she wanted Gina to just be a little more scared just for like a minute. Oh, can I say our stunt team is so incredible. And that little creature.
God bless.
Whose name was Alan. That creature had a name. His name was Alan. And Alan was a great stunt performer on our show.
He was,
And very slippery to fight in that episode. You could actually see me. I'm fighting him. And there's a close-up of me wiping my hands on my pants because they were so wet.
They were so wet.
Yeah.
He was
super slippery. And also, yeah, he was an incredible performer.
He really looked terrifying.
He did. Oh, the CGI of his mouth.
Oh my God. Oh, it's disgusting.
It was disgusting.
Like in the best way.
In the best way.
Here's my question for you. I was watching that moment with the lips and the stuff and you're having to react to it, like what was actually happening on the day? Obviously that was added in later. So how did you not die of laughter? And just what did that look like?
Well, I mean, it's a lot like the succubus kiss, right? Like it everything looks ridiculous until you see it in post.
Right.
I remember filming that whole sequence with Alan and Chris and you're there at the end and all that stuff. Because fight stuff or any kind of action takes hours and hours and hours to film, even if it's something kind of simple. It just does. So I remember being in that place it felt like at least two days or something. It felt like forever. And it looks completely ridiculous. But good stunt people, which every single stunt person on our show was, they make you feel like things are actually happening. Even though you don't really see it till after, they're so invested physically. And so Alan was like that. He could move incredibly. So,
he was so great. Yeah.
I really just had to try not to slide off of him, frankly. it was kind of like that.
Anna's out of frame. Cut. Anna's out of frame. She has slid into the little pool.
Into the lake. Yeah.
Into the little lake we've built.
I love it. Anything else you want to add? What else can we talk about? I mean,
about your hair?
Oh my gosh. Sure. Yeah.
Your hair. I was almost like, it was so, I just love that style on you so much. Like the middle braid.
I love the middle braid.
Props to, Sandy Sokolowski.
Yes.
Who is a genius and just loved your hair. And in every scene, I was like almost distracted by how much I loved your hair.
Oh my gosh.
Senya, focus on everything else.
You know,
it looked beautiful.
It wasn't until I did Lost Girl that I really understood that hair.
That you had hair on
that
your
I
head.
Had hair on my head. And I was like, wow, no. Because I mean, Kenzie with all the wigs and all the incredible looks too. I didn't really understand that hair and makeup really tell a story. You know, they really do. And that's something that's really powerful as an actor, you know, like everything is considered when it comes to hair makeup. And I remember Sandy, saying things like, you know, you're seen at a 360, you know, we're trying to think of things that look good that way. I'm like, oh yeah. Cause you know, I've looked at myself in the mirror flat and just made the front look good. But right. on camera, you see the whole piece, and it also has to tell a story. And what I love about the story of Beau's hair in that episode, you know, except like the middle mohawk kind of made her look like a warrior. Mm. But before that, it's kind of loose and innocent. There's this like youth about it.
Yeah.
That shows you where she's at.
Yeah, it was nice to have story. Those two looks in yes. one episode. Yeah.
Yes,
to was. Go from like romantic lovey-dovey Beau to
yes.
you watch out.
You watch out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Ksenia Solo.
So many feels.
So many feels. And it's so good to do this with you. And me it's too. Been so long. You know, we really wanted to do this for the fans because, as you know, Lost Girl fans are far and wide and still as loyal as ever. And it's really special for me to be with you here today. And I thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. And you're right that we have the greatest fans in the world.
We do.
They have been so... supportive and like loving and wonderful. So yeah. they, I think, will always stay with us no matter where we go moving forward. Lots of love to you.
Lots of love to you.
As always. And Beau and Kenzie forever.
Beau and Kenzie forever. Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Thank you, Ms. Solo. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Big kiss. Bye. Bye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's Spotlight. We have a very special guest today, I have to say. I'm very thrilled that she is here. Being an incredible makeup artist involves much more than putting makeup on people's faces. A great makeup artist, like today's Spotlight, also tells a story. As an actor, it might be one of the most intimate relationships that you have on set. With today's Spotlight, I knew I was always taken care of, I would always look my best, and that if anyone messed with me, this lady would turn into a tiger and chase them out of the hair makeup trailer. I know I speak for all of our cast from Lost Girl when I say she is truly one of the greats. Please welcome Linda McCormick. How are you?
Hello. I'm great. You're making me cry by all the wonderful things you say.
Honestly, Linda, this whole like rewatch and revisit of the first season has made me very emotional.
I'm sure.
It's so great to see you here with us today. And certainly, it is one of the most intimate relationships on set. I mean, literally, for everyone listening, a makeup artist and you are physically very close to each other.
Yes.
You start your day together. And I really learned on Lost Girl just how much it's more than just about makeup on the face, that it really is about crafting and cultivating a story. So my first question for you, that I think people will find very interesting, is that creatives on a show like makeup artists, hair, wardrobe, they often have to go through a similar process that actors do to get their jobs. You have to have a vision for the show and develop a vision, you know, with producers and then bring that to life on screen. So my question is, how did you approach that with Lost Girl? How did you come to get the job and where did you begin the process of creating Beau and Tamsin and Kenzie and all of the looks?
Well, originally on the pilot, there was another makeup artist who was hired because she was a friend of the director's.
That's right.
I really, really wanted this show. I had read it, and the hairdresser on the show, Sandy Sokolowski, and I were friends. So we had decided we were going to have to put some kind of a game plan. We were already working on another episodic. So we asked the lead actress if she would mind being our muse while we did a selection of looks on her. So Sandy is a very skilled hairdresser, but even more of a photographer. So what we did was ask this woman to take, to allow us to take some pictures. So we gave some ideas of what we thought the characters on Lost Girl would look like. So we did a series of five different looks, which he photographed. We printed those pictures and we called the producer, Wanda Chaffee. She said she would be happy to see what we had to let us present the entire invitation to Lost Girl. So Sandy and I went with about 30 pictures and we put them all down on the counter and we said, you need to hire us because we want this show and this is our vision for the show. And I think the producers, the creatives weren't really sure what was going to happen with the characters. And Sandy and I felt that if we started Anna off as the girl next door and started to build gradually, not give too much of it away, but build an arc where her and Ksenia became warriors, that's how we would draw the audience in. So eventually the wardrobe changed, the hair changed, the makeup changed, and we ended up with the Lost Girl.
That, I mean, I had no idea, by the way, of that story. So it's that's so cool for me to hear as well. And, you know, in watching and rewatching this first season, you can see all of that. You can see this kind of more youthful and simpler looking beau. You know, still beautiful makeup and hair and things, but there was like a bit more of an innocence to her and then she develops into, like, you know, the warrior look, the hair, the eyes. I mean, it was so incredible. So it's incredible, honestly, for me to hear that story.
It was one of those things where Sandy and I were not backing down. Some shows you read, in episodic as well as feature films, and you know that your heart and soul is going to be there and you need to be that creative to get there. Yeah. Sandy and I believe so firmly in Lost Girl, so firmly. And we talked for hours on end about where each individual character was going, who was joined, who was love interests. It kind of phased our own lives at that time because there were so many things going on with both the crew and cast. There were marriages, there were breakups, there were children, and we all bonded together. And that's why Sandy and I felt like we were going to have history. And I ended up with 4 of the 5 years of history and still have my friends and still think of Lost Girl as a growing period for a lot of us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. You know, we get to go to all different kinds of cons, Linda, and we meet so many fans of the show because these characters matter to them. And so what's really interesting for them to hear from you is that you were such a pivotal part in creating those characters. You know, we didn't just show up as Bo and Kenzie and Dyson and everybody. It was a team and group effort. So what are some of your best memories of working on Lost Girl?
Some of my best memories, how much fun we all had.
Yes.
Some of the very wonderful conversations that a room full of women will always be enticing. Mm-hmm. The camaraderie amongst us, and that was 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago.
More. Yeah.
We talked about everything that was happening in our worlds at that time. I mean, now it's pretty normal for women to get together and talk about the climate of what's happening with women. But we were talking about it 12 years ago and fully supporting each other. If somebody had a breakup, if somebody had a baby, if somebody had a falling out, everybody was there. All those women were there to support. Sandy sometimes was the only man in the room, but he always had something great to say.
He did.
He always
come in with like a one-liner that would just be... Yeah. Make us all laugh.
And I think that was probably the most instrumental thing for me growing over that 5 years was being on Lost Girl. And then, of course, Anna set me up with my now partner, who I had known for many years, and he ended up leaving his partner. I ended up leaving mine. And when I found out that he was not with her, I asked him out, and Anna was giving me a lot of pointers as to what I should do. And we've been together 8.5 years now.
I am no relationship or dating expert, but I will tell everyone listening that for Linda and Joe, there was like literally just like a heart around them. So it was really just about helping that, you know, I was so encouraging of that relationship because you could just see that it was a no-brainer. You guys were meant to be together. And I love that you guys got together on Lost Girl.
Me too.
That's so great. What are some of the biggest challenges of your job on a day-to-day basis? And what were some of your biggest challenges on Lost Girl?
I think your biggest challenge is to separate yourself from being a makeup artist to being the den mother of all of your kids.
Right.
Because I take both of them incredibly serious. Sometimes to the point where I would like to just chop somebody's head off because of the fact that they're not being responded to a worry that you might have. If you were upset, if an actor's upset about how they look, how they feel that day, they just have a lot of dialogue and they're just not really in tune to it, then I feel as the den mother, it's my job to get them ready, to have that conversation. If they have to have a big cry, then let them have that cry.
We had some big cries.
But, you know, that's what we do. And then we move on. We're all passionate artists and you bonded together and it was great. So making sure that the actors leave the trailer happy for them never to have to think about how they look, because I'm always at the monitor. I'm always there. And I sense on those days that sometimes you just need to go in and give them a hug. Yeah. And sometimes it might bring them to tears, as I remember once where you were trying so hard to keep it together. And I told them, just please stop. Let me just go in and deal with Anna. And I gave you a hug. You started to cry. We went off. You cried it out. You came right back and you were fine.
You cleaned me up and
you up and away you go.
Exactly. No, you were, I mean, I have such warm memories. You're just such a, well, guys, for everyone listening, Linda is like just a foxy lady. That's the only way I can describe her. She's so beautiful and sensual and present and lives in that moment with you. And so it's so key. It's just so key. It really is an incredible experience. And I'm so happy that you're here. So as I mentioned a couple times, Rachel and I have gone to several cons. The whole cast has gone to several cons. And we often have so many people that show up dressed like Bo, Kenzie, Tamsin.
Oh my God, I love it.
If you had to give them some advice to create, let's say, like the Bo eye or some kind of palette, what would you say to our listeners?
I would say get your eyelashes out, your black liner, your contour, and a neutral mouth, and put as much on as you can feasibly wear, and you're going to have it.
And then when you think it's enough, put more on. When you think it's too much, actually one more layer will do.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. That's actually one thing I learned from playing Bo in terms of the makeup. Like, I can wear a lot of makeup.
You can wear a ton of makeup.
And it actually, it creates that look. Like it was never too much ever.
You can't be shy when it comes to applying eye makeup on Bo.
No.
Because you just keep going and you keep thinking, I don't think it's quite enough yet. And then you just go in with some more black and guess what? It works.
And then remember, like towards the end of every season, my skin would be so tired that you'd literally be like trying to get the makeup just to stay on there, like just for one close up, we got to get the shot. I can remember just us laughing a lot about that. I have one more final question for you, Linda.
Okay.
If anyone listening is interested in becoming a makeup artist or interested in getting into your field, what would you advise them? How would you advise them to start?
I would advise that they don't go, and I'm sure I'm not going to be liked for this very much, but spending astronomical amounts of money at a makeup school. I think that in the last few years, that training on some levels has gone downhill. So I, because I have taught for the last 18 years, I see in a class of 17 kids, if I pluck one out of that class, then I feel like I've done my job. I think buy yourself a book. There's lots on Amazon on how to become a makeup artist. Read it from beginning to end and see if that's what you want to do. Think about the long hours. Think about what you're going to sacrifice with your family, that you're not always going to be there, and you have to have a very understanding partner and family. Mm-hmm. And then try your hand at it. Use community theaters, use any kind of resource within your own community, and see if it's what you want to do. It's not just about applying makeup. It's really about reading the skip, what the script, what can you offer, and how proud you can make yourself as well as that actor when it comes to being friends.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Linda. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're all so fortunate to be joined by you today. And I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And all of your wonderful words. And
thank you very much. It was wonderful seeing you.
You too. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. This enables us to grow and to continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch. You can also subscribe to Patreon for exclusive bonus episodes made just for you and get early access to all of our episodes. Okay, Miss Solo. I have a very serious question for you. Okay. Now, and you have to spend the rest of your life like this. Okay. Would you rather spend the rest of your life having to speak like Yoda or breathing like Darth Vader? And why?
Definitely Yoda, because he is smart.
He is smart. Yes.
Does that answer the question?
It does, no. but then you have to spend the rest of your life
talking backwards.
The beginning of your sentence at the end, and everyone would just get so irritated with you, wouldn't they?
I know, but I feel like that's so much better than just like hyperventilating for the rest of your life.
I hear that. That's valid, but I have actually put quite a bit of thought into this question. Because breath work is so popular now, I feel like...
Oh. You're taking a yogic approach.
I feel like I could take a yogic as opposed to a yodic. Oh, yodic? Can I say yodic? Oh my God. Oh my God. We just fell into the gutter.
Quoted as saying yodic. So beguiling, and I find you the same. Yeah, I find you the same. So hold my hand, wave high, for all to see that you let me ride along with you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.